When you open the bottle and you drink the wine, it speaks for itself. Is it, you know, a wine that's made for food? Yes. Those types of wines are tend to be more rustic or have a little bit more body. Are there wines that are just pure out hedonistic pleasure? Sure, there's wines like that that maybe from California that are more cocktail wines, or wines that are just big jammy fruit bombs. And those, I think, appeal to a certain group of people as well. I think the wines that Barterhouse specializes in is more of these food-friendly, you know, rustic style, biodynamic, organic wines that tend to be a bit more earthy, come from someplace. So you can almost taste the terroir. You can almost feel this guy, this Sancerre was grown in this slaty, rocky soil. And so to me, that's the exciting part, that the wine feels like it comes from someplace.
We talk about food. We talk about music with musical dudes. Finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
Ah! You are listening to Snacky Tunes. I am one half your host, DJ Never Forget. Terry Diabolik is not here today. Obviously, he, as I mentioned last week, is shooting a new pilot for a yet-to-be-named show with a yet-to-be-announced chef. But we wish him the best and wish he was here because today we are actually celebrating our 50th episode of Snacky Tunes, which is kind of amazing. And we're really excited about where the last 50 have been and where the next 50 are going. And today's show is no exception. That opening song was by AKA JK, which is on the Throne of Blood record label. And I have James Friedman of Throne of Blood in studio today. Hey, James.
Hey, hey. How's it
going? And it's good. How you doing? How's that pizza?
Pizza's treating me right. Thank you.
Yeah, and so James is going to be playing a lot of unreleased upcoming tunes from Throne of Blood later in the show today, and we're going to be talking about the label and having a label and what it takes to continue a small independent label in this day and age. And then also in the show, we're going to be having Jeff Zalznick, the founder and editor-in-chief of Always Hungry, .com, which is his great James Beard Foundation nominee website about restaurants and eating and top fives and all things that are good in New York. But I want to take a couple minutes to do a little self promo, I guess. Punches, the group that Terry and I are in with Alan Astor, is having our EP release October 12th. It's coming out on our label, who is founded by Travis Hayden, who you might know from iHeart Comics and Big Beat. And we're really excited about all of that. We've been out hard at work, as you've known if you've been listening to the show at all. And we're really excited because our debut track, Feeling Right, actually got picked up by Filter Magazine last week. And it's making the rounds on the blogs. And if you wanted to go get it, you could go to Filter Magazine or FOTPNYC.com or just search Hype Machine for Feeling Right. And we haven't really played this song on here since we first made it months and months ago, so I wanted to actually play the play it for you guys in anticipation of October 12th, and you'll be hearing more remixes and more information coming up about it. But the show is at Public Assembly. It's with a lot of Snacky Tunes past favorites, Chakra No, Midnight Magic, Telephoned. It's going to be free. And it's a Tuesday night, and it's from 9 to 1. So for all you people who have law school or real school, you can still make it and go to bed at a reasonable hour. So this is the actually never-before-played radio edit of Feeling Right off our upcoming Sleepless City EP. And after this, we'll be on the phone with Jeff from AlwaysHungry.com.
You got the feeling right. You got the feeling. got the feeling right. You got the feeling right. You got the feeling right. You got the feeling right. If you can't find a seat, I am here to be it. It's alright, it's alright. Together we will find it. You know we can't deny it. Tonight, tonight. You got the feeling right. You got the feeling right. You got the feeling right. You got the feeling right.
All right, you're listening to Snacky Tunes. I am your host, DJ Never Forget. That was just Punches, our debut single, Feeling Right, which will be out October 12th on our label, our Sleepless City EP. But you can actually download Feeling Right now for free on the blogosphere, wherever your favorite blog may be. James Friedman is in studio today. He's actually setting up right now, one of the founders of the Throne of Blood record label. He's going to play a lot of new stuff, and we're going to talk about music and food, as we tend to do here. But before that, we have Jeff Zalzenik, the founder and editor-chief of AlwaysHungry.com. Jeff, you there?
I'm here.
Jeff, did I get your last name right?
Zalaznik.
Zalaznik. I knew it. I got close.
You got close.
I got
close enough.
Close enough. Jeff and I actually met one night a few weeks ago when Anna from The Fooding, who was on a few weeks ago, happened to show up at the same restaurant I was eating at with Jeff in tow, and they joined us, and we got to talking as things do, and Jeff let me know that he runs Always Hungry, which is an amazing website. And Jeff, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about the site?
So yeah, Always Hungry is, you know, a daily content site about food in and around New York. It's a search engine for food. We do video content. We, you know, and we basically, you know, do everything we can to make sure that people never eat an insignificant meal in the New York area.
How long have you been running Always Hungry?
We've been live on the online for close to 2 years, and you know, we're probably working on it for about a little close to a year before that.
I mean, it's a great site, and I see that you have recently been nominated for a James Beard Award.
Yeah, that was very exciting. You know, our video content got nominated for a James Beard Award last year, which was exciting. And, you know, keep, you know, you should really, if you haven't checked out our video is pretty unbelievable.
Yeah, I would recommend that. Now, it says Always Hungry New York, but I have noticed that you have a couple pieces on Chicago. Do you have correspondents that are out there? Do you yourself go out there? How does it work?
Well, you know, our editorial team basically does everything in-house, which is one of the things that differentiates us from a lot of the sites out there, which is that, you know, it's not that we're just taking in reviews from other places. I mean, we're actually doing it all ourselves. So if there are stories about Chicago or Maine or other places around the country, it's because myself or one of our writers are actually there.
That's amazing. Like your lobster roll feature, your San Gerano feature. I mean, these are obviously, you know, very just at the top of the page. But, you know, it looks great, and looks like if you just wait long enough, you guys will go there and eat there. Correct?
Exactly. I mean, and you know, one thing we really pride ourselves on, which you'll see, is you know the great food photography. So that's something that you'll find in every one of the pieces.
It's pretty amazing. You know, one of my favorite sections of the site, to be honest, is your top five section. And I know that everyone ranks things and everyone does things, but yours is like pretty in depth and pretty specific. You know, top five matzo balls, non-wing barbecue chicken wings. You know, of course, the Bami sandwich and deviled eggs. You know, who is running the top five, and how is this decided on?
So we, you know, the one thing that we wanted to do with making these lists was not make big kind of overarching, you know, lists, but to do things that were more in-depth and more specific, like, you know, something like affogato or bone marrow or matzo ball, like you'll see up there. And it's done by myself and by our whole team. So, I mean, basically when we do these, you know, we go out and we probably start with, you know, anywhere up to 20 different contenders, and you know, we basically taste test them all until we can come down to five.
Is this like a night, a couple nights, a month?
You know, the top fives are very time intensive, you know, because we probably do it, I would say, to do it the right way, which is the way we try to do it, you probably need a good week just from the perspective of your human capacity to eat,
right,
to really try all these things. But we, you know, we do our best. So normally, you know, I would say when we do one, we dedicate a week to it and kind of do some stuff in the office and then go out that night and taste a bunch.
I mean, you know, what a thing to be dedicated to. I also noticed that it's a shame that you're not in studio today, because it seems that Roberta's is on your top five restaurants.
Well, yeah, Roberta's is a top five pork chop.
Yeah.
It's the number one, in fact.
It is the number one, which is...
I think that Roberta's has the best pork chop in New York.
I just want to mention, this is like not a plug or an endorsement. It's just, if you go to the site right now, he obviously could not change it while we are chatting, and it's right there, the number one pork chop is Roberta's. And also, and you know, Vinegar Hill House and all the other ones are also, you know, not too shabby themselves.
It's also, you know, the number two bone marrow, if you look. I mean, I do have to give Roberta's props where it's due. I mean, I think their pork chop, I mean, obviously they use, you know, the red wattle pig, which is out of control. I mean, you know, I think that the chop there and the chop at Vinegar Hill are very similar, and if I'm not mistaken, you know, they've worked together on it in many ways, but it's unreal.
So alwayshungry.com is one of your two websites, and I know that I'm not sure if it's launched yet or you're going to be launching, but it's the Dine Private website, which is also a really interesting concept, if you would care to elaborate on it.
Yeah, so Dine Private is online. It is live. We've been, you know, in beta for the last few months, and we're really pushing it out live this fall. What Dine Private is, it's a partnership between myself and Joe Bastianich, who's a restaurateur in New York, and what we wanted to do with that was create a place where users could come and search and browse private dining in a live and interactive way online, and also create a way for restaurants to sell and promote their private dining space. Because, you know, what a lot of people may not realize is that for restaurants, private dining is in fact one of their best businesses. So, you know, what we wanted to do, it didn't make sense why there wasn't a place for restaurants to put that inventory on a shelf. And so that's really what Dine Private is it's a place for restaurants to promote what they have in terms of private dining, meaning, you know, either in a private room or as a group dining. You know, what we say is really whenever you get transferred over and they say, hold on, let me put you through to the, whether it's the group dining person or the banquet manager, that's where Dine Private really takes over. And also for consumers, you know, you didn't really have much of a choice aside from going through the back of a guidebook or something and, you know, calling all the different private dining options, you know, and seeing if they were available, what they fit, how many people they fit. Now with Dine Private, what you can do is if you're having, let's say, a holiday party or a birthday party, you can go on and say, I need a room on October 15th for 20 people in Midtown, and it will actually give you live results of what's available, what fits your needs, which saves people who do this on a regular basis hours of their day. So it's a very exciting product for people, you know, who define that in their day-to-day lives.
You just really upset a lot of event planners. Whose niche was it? You know,
exactly.
You just took some food out of their mouth, no pun intended. But it's great because it is really just one of those obscure type of knowledges. And, you know, you usually end up at some like big Italian restaurant that's got some huge table and kind of serves you family style. And maybe you don't want to do Italian food or some banquet type of stuff. Maybe you want something a little bit finer. And this is a really great tool.
Yeah, and we've got a really large range of, you know, if you check it out, it's dineprivate.com. You know, we've got a very large range of restaurants. You know, we've got everything from, you know, cool little spots in, you know, New York, in Manhattan, like, you know, the Smile to, you know, big, you know, huge Italian restaurants like Del Posto. So we kind of have a range depending whether you want something, you know, hip, whether you want something, you know, really, you know, fancy, you know, whatever you want. We really have tried to put together a blend so that it's not just, you know, the fancy kind of over-the-top places that you generally think of when it comes to private dining.
That's great. Well, Jeff, I want to thank you for being on air. I just have one more question for you. I know that you travel for this site, but when you come back to New York City, what is the first thing that you have to have when you get back home?
You know, that's a tough question. I'd say it's definitely a toss up between Chinese. You know, I do one of two things when I get home normally. I either do pastrami at Katz's Deli, sometimes and often right from the airport. Another major move for me, though, from the airport is Dom Pepe's, which is in Ozone Park, which is right by JFK, which is probably, you know, to me, one of the best Italian restaurants in New York. And, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with it, but you should definitely check it out. It's unreal, and it happens to be, like, one of the great stops when you're coming back from JFK. So I often end up at Dom Pepe's. And if not, you know, I tend to sometimes do Chinese, you know, in my neighborhood, which is the Village. You know, I tend to do either a Grand Szechuan, a Chinatown Brasserie. I love both of those restaurants. But those are generally what I hit when I get back to town.
Well, all right, Jeff. Well, Jeff, thank you so much. I'm so glad that we met at that dinner a few weeks ago. You know, please make sure to check out his sites. And thank you for being on Snacky Tunes.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
No problem. That was great. I am, of course, the guy who has Always Hungry top fives can only give us his top three and not his top ones. You are listening to Snacky Tunes. I am one half your host, DJ Never Forget. We are eating some delicious sandwiches and drinking some Barter House wines. We have James Friedman from Throne of Blood Records about to hop on the decks and play some tunes for us, and then we will be back shortly to talk to him about Throne of Blood, upcoming releases, and food. Thanks for listening. James, take it away. We'll be right back.
sina yanga gatizo na menikete yena maboko pade sozo kwa ke toto nzara nzara ke fazo sida ke fazo
You're listening to Snacky Tunes. James Friedman on the decks. He's going to come and tell us what that is. Big shout out to Jack Inslee and Rec Tech for making us sound oh so good and helping sending it in. And Terry Diabolic, who just turned in and missed his other two previous shout outs, is looking for a third shout out. So shout out. We wish you were here for the 50th episode of Snacky Tunes. James, welcome to Snacky Tunes.
Thank you very much, sir.
I'm happy that you were able to find time in your school schedule to come here.
It's hard work being a student.
I could not imagine going back to being a student. I actually wanted to make like a real change in my life.
You know, it's been a little bit of a trip. I mean, I'm in my early 30s. I've been out of school for 10 years, and I decided last year to go back to school. It was a little bit of a humbling experience, but it's been good, and it's nice to know that there's still a few brain cells working.
Inside
my skull.
And a note to all the people out there who think that you might be only to do one thing in life, while James is also studying to be a lawyer, he's also a head honcho at Throne of Blood Records, which the last two tracks were from. And one of them. Just one of them.
The first track was a song by a South African techno artist called Kulo de Song. It was released on a German record label called Inner Visions that I'm very fond of. The second track is a record that's coming out on Throne of Blood this fall. It's by a French African band called Bibi Tanga and the Selenites. It's a remix by one of my artists. They're known as Populette. It's a duo, New York City-based duo of Max Pask and The Wiz. They're two of my closest friends, two of my musical cohorts and partners in crime.
They're great.
And an artist I'm very keen to help nurture and grow. And that was a big step forward for them musically.
Are you going to play any of their originals today?
Yes, I will play a track off their upcoming single, which is called Populace. It will be released on October 18th on Throne of Blood Records, both vinyl and digital, available worldwide through Compact Distribution. We're really excited about that single as well. It's got a pretty massive, druggy, 12-minute ambient remix by Gavin Russom from DFA.
He's also the wizard in LCD Sound System right now.
Yes, he's the synth wizard in LCD. The 12-inch is getting a lot of love from DJs that I really respect. It's very exciting. Folks like Yvonne Smag, Ewan Pearson, Jeff Roth from Mugwump. A lot of European folks. Matt Walsh, who's on Turbo Records, has been playing. The tracks featured one of the tracks in a mix he just did for Bugged Out. Just really exciting. I mean, I've been doing this label for a long time.
Yeah, why don't you give our listeners a little history of Throne of Blood?
All right, Throne of Blood...
Tell us a tale.
The tale of Throne of Blood is a sort of convoluted one, but basically what happened was in about 2006, some very good friends of mine who are in a band called The Rapture.
Never heard of them.
You may have heard of them. They were on DFA for a while. They were on Sub Pop for a while.
They opened up for that little tour that with Daft Punk threw.
Yeah, they were the opening act on the Daft Punk's 2007 Alive tour. They're dear old friends of mine, and... through the sort of vagaries of their record deal, they were allowed to press up and release vinyl versions of all of their singles, while Universal Motown was handling the CD and digital versions. And they found themselves in a place where they could either do a record deal with some small label to do these vinyl releases or tackle it themselves. And they decided that, you know, in a very sort of 21st century move, they wanted to take some ownership over the releasing of these singles and asked for my help. So I helped them set up a record label, secured distribution for them, and essentially took on A&R duties, label management duties, and Throne of Blood was born as a sort of a partnership between myself and the members of the Rapture. Initially, in 2006 and 2007, we only released Rapture-related records. So we did three singles with remixes and an LP version of the Rapture's last album, which is called Pieces of the People We Love. Once that album campaign was done and the band was sort of taking a break from the road and getting ready to write and record a new record, we had to figure out what to do with this label that we had started. We had sold quite a few records. We had made a minor little name for ourselves by doing after parties for the Daft Punk tour. They were somewhat legendary. They're known as the Dafter parties.
I was at the Chicago and the Brooklyn one.
Yeah, the Chicago one was a trip. Kanye West was on Daft Punk's guest list at the party and was barred from entry because of capacity issues.
That is correct. It was after Lollapalooza.
Yeah, this is my, you know, one of the highlights of my DJing life was that I played a party that was so mobbed Kanye West and couldn't get in his hometown. But yeah, basically every single one of these parties was like a total circus. And so suddenly we had nothing to follow with. So it took a little bit of sort of a period of introspection and soul searching on the part of myself and our partners. We decided to basically turn Throne of Blood from a vanity project for the Rapture into a real record label.
Nice.
And have been sort of signing and licensing releases for the past couple years, ranging from sort of relative unknowns to folks that are sort of well known, but so maybe not in the dance music world. So, for example, our first release was a first time bedroom producer by the name Dances with White Girls.
Who was previously on the show.
So Dances was, you know, really just a local DJ, kid from Philly, who had some really interesting musical ideas, had never put out a record before. And we, you know, developed a record release with him, and, you know, that process took a long time to sort of help him learn how to articulate his musical ideas in a releasable form. But that was a really great experience. We followed that with a release by a two-piece band from Pittsburgh called Zombie that are better known for sort of playing kind of very proggy metal, basically. I mean, they're a sort of a two-piece synth drums and bass band that plays mostly heavy metal shows. Their music is decidedly 70s kind of goblin-esque soundtrack music, but their audience was largely coming out of the metal world, and we did basically an Italo disco single with them, which was pretty interesting, sold very well, and really helped put Throne of Blood on the map as a record label. We followed that with a release by John Selway, who's a veteran techno producer who lives here in New York. And it's just really sort of spiraled out of control from there. Yeah, I'm on release number 9 right now, and I have 9 more records in various stages of completion.
Amazing. So why don't we get you back on the decks and hear some of the records that are coming out?
All right, be happy to do that. I'll play, first up, I'll play Populous by Populette, and then I'll follow that with some other unreleased bits and bobs. I just want to give a shout out to my newest signings, who are a duo from Ireland called Bicep. One of them lives in London.
Oh yeah, they're great.
One of them lives in Dubai. They just turned in their 2 EPs to me. I'm just hugely impressed by their work. They're great. I'm really excited to be working with them. And yeah, so listen for some Bicep coming up too.
Thanks. All right. Well, we are here on Snacky Tunes, James from Throne of Blood. A little bit of history and a little bit what's to come. I am one half your host, DJ Never Forget. If you'd like to hear that Dance with the White Girls episode and other episodes that we have done before, just tune to our podcast on iTunes. Go to iTunes Store and just search Snacky Tunes. We're the only thing with the word snacky in it, and you'll be able to pick that up with other great podcasts. James, take it away. The book, All right. You were listening to Snacky Tunes. I am your host, DJ Never Forget. It's James Friedman. Fades out some unreleased tunes from the Throne of Blood record label as James makes his way back over here. We will have him say what was playing. What was the what did you just drop?
Oh, what did I just drop on the floor? The last record was Bicep. It's a song called Darwin. Before that, I played an unreleased, unmastered track by Gabriel Andruzzi from The Rapture. It's a song called Ape Man. Before that, I played Populous by Populette. All three will be coming out in the coming months on Throne of Blood. And all three are things I'm excited about.
I am too. I really like... Did you say you played Bicep? Are you in club?
Yes, Bicep was the last song I played, and I will take us out with another track I have coming up on Throne of Blood by an artist called Master Khan.
And they have a website too, right?
Bicep have a blog that they run called Feel My Bicep. I think it's feelmybicep.com. It's an MP3 blog. They post a lot of stuff they're interested in. They post a lot of edits that they make. They're a really interesting couple of kids. I don't know them personally at all. I mean, our entire correspondence has taken place via email and IM and Skype. They came to my attention because they posted something I had released on their blog. And I just wrote them a note saying, hey, you know, I'm happy for you guys to post my stuff. Just, you know, please don't post, you know, CD quality audio.
Right.
And then they were like, you know, we really like your label, blah, blah, blah. Check out some of our music. And, you know, to my delight, the music that they sent me was exceptionally good. Most of the demos I get are sort of random Eastern European progressive house musicians whose music I just can't stand. Which is not to say people shouldn't send me demos, but this was just like a real pleasant surprise. Right. Where I first listened, I was like, I want to put this out. I want to work with you guys. And they've just been super agreeable and easy to deal with. And yeah, I'm really excited to be.
Awesome. So if I wanted to find all contact information and check things out, where would I go? What would I do?
We have a website called throneofbloodmusic.com. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. There may even still be a MySpace page. I have a buddy who manages the MySpace page for me and the Twitter and the Facebook. So I'm not personally too caught up in those, but I do take care of the throneofbloodmusic.com website, which is basically just a little blog that I update every week or so with something interesting, like a mix that's posted online with one of our tracks, reviews, exceptional DJ feedback, links to stream stuff off of soundcloud.com, where we do have a site as well, soundcloud.com/throneofblood. I'm also on Facebook, flogging the label's wares relentlessly.
Right.
We're available through Beatport, iTunes, better record stores all over the world. We'll have probably one record a month coming out for the foreseeable future. Keep your eyes peeled for some t-shirts and things like that coming up. Those are in the works.
Awesome.
For all your merchandising pleasures.
So James is going to take us out with one more song.
All right. So this last song is something, it's a little project I've been working on for a very long time with an artist who's from Chicago, who lives here. His name is Master Khan. He's known to some folks by another project he does called Great Weekend, who had a great record that came out on The Worst Music Company a few months ago. He's an incredibly talented musician, and he gave me this track late last fall, early winter, and I've been working with him to get the song finished and get some remixes done to come out on Throne of Blood ever since. It's a real departure from the stuff you've heard. Which is intentional. I think I'd like to keep Throne of Blood interesting and eclectic. And I think this definitely shows another side of our musical sensibility. The song is called Taxi Cab Confessions.
All right. Well, James, thanks for being on Snacky Tunes.
Thank you very much.
Big shout out to Jeff from Always Hungry and Dine Private. Thank you to Barhouse Wines, Traberta's, Jack Inslee, Rec Tech. And a big shout out to all the guests, food, music, and otherwise that have been on Snacky Tunes for the past 50 shows. We look forward to bringing you another 50, and stay tuned for more information on the Punches EP release October 12th at Public Assembly. James is going to take us out with one more track from Throne of Blood, and we will see you next week. We'll be right back.
Don't show me where.